We were just, hey, cheers, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
So this might sound a little different. We're actually on the road on our way to Denver to go to a sneak premiere preview of Kevin Smith's Red State and then go for the Q&A afterwards.
That's the most exciting part.
And we were just making fun of Alec. I have Alec next to me in the car.
Hey, this is me.
We were just making fun of his neighbors because they smoke outside together all the time.
Yep, so we decided the couple that smokes together dies earlier together, but Peter had a great observation. He said...
Well, I just said that, you know, if you die a little earlier, you don't have to do some shit like tour America's ballparks to try and revive your marriage as it dies later on. Can you picture that? Like, I don't want to picture myself doing that, but don't you think that's the kind of thing people end up doing just because they don't want to be together?
I don't want to name names of family members, but a certain aunt and uncle that I've got sold their house, bought themselves an RV, and now tour the country and more specifically the national parks together.
Yeah, there you go. And you need like a quest, a task to keep the relationship alive.
I think it's to keep themselves alive. They're old enough now. I don't think that it's just about like the marriage.
Right.
I think it's about the beating hearts.
Yeah, it is.
So
I think that sometimes it does turn into, well, I don't know. That's a weird one to do too if you were sick of somebody. You're like, hey, let's spend all our fucking time in a tiny house, basically.
Let's get rid of anything, any other distractions, the only things that made your fucking presence tolerable.
Like, which is the rooms that were in between us.
My giant collection of blank, whatever they collected, that covered my unhappiness, insecurity, and my view of you.
You know it was big, I think, I don't know if it's still big with old men. I don't keep up with old men.
I don't know.
It's like
Viagra?
A workshop. Oh, I'm down in my workshop working on my woods or whatever they're doing down. And they always build. I had these neighbors.
Okay.
It was an old man, Fred and Irma.
You
that
know,
could be the end of the story,
no,
right?
No, but before we go any further, let's talk about how the names of old men, they get recycled. I mean, James has been around since the however the fuck long James has been around.
Right.
Mike, Richard, but... women's names.
Yeah.
There's old-fashioned women's names like Irma or Viola.
Hortense.
That's a horse's name, you ass. But
Olga or shit like
that. Ooh,
they
nice.
They don't really come back. You're right.
No.
They don't come back around. Marge.
Yep, that's a great one.
Oh, that's my grandma.
She is a delight.
I had a friend who had a great grandma name. Now I can't fucking remember. It doesn't matter.
My grandma, Sybil. And my other one, Noreen.
Ooh, Noreen. That's a good one, too.
So, you know, grandma names that it's not quite the same as James is all I'm saying.
No. Yeah, the guys' names are, it's almost, if you're a little kid but you have an old man's name, it's kind of cute in a way.
Right, right.
But a little girl named Irma. You think it's like fucking Benjamin Button, like she got, you know, reversed
in the
womb or whatever.
Well, isn't Irma the sidekick of April O'Neil and the Ninja Turtles?
I think you might be right. Yeah, the one who was a ripoff of Janine from Ghostbusters.
Yes, yes. She had the she had those fucking glasses. What's
I forgot about
what
her.
Is that fashion sense that you get dangerously close to that I don't like? Hipster.
Okay.
Anyway, she was like a fucking pre-hipster hipster. She had those gigantic ironic librarian glasses.
I don't think she was ironic, though. I think, if I remember her right, she was just a complete fucking... I think she was Janine from the Ghostbusters.
It might have been her voice, but I mean, I just can't, you know. Really, Irma, I think she was only in the original cartoon.
Yeah.
So people remember April O'Neil, but they don't remember Irma.
No. Yeah, April O'Neil in her yellow jumpsuit
with
the
pockets.
Oh, my
God. The onesie. That shit... You know what I like about onesies?
Mm.
They've never been in style.
No.
They've never been realistic.
No.
But people actually wear them for jobs. You see them in cartoons. Nobody has a onesie in their closet.
Yeah.
But you see onesies all the time in pop culture.
Yeah. They are much more. I think maybe animators are like, you know what? If I draw this person in a onesie, I can just use that paint bucket tool and click once and the whole thing is colored in.
It's funny you say that because only people who actually paint in real life have a reason to wear a onesie.
That's true, yeah. I don't understand, too. Have you noticed painters always wearing all white, like house painters?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yes, I agree with you on that 100%.
That
Why not
like
brown?
The worst.
Well, right.
Anything.
I mean, and it's strange, too, because they always seem clean.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they bleach the shit out of them.
Maybe.
But I don't even think bleach gets paint out. I mean, stains and shit make sense. I know for a fact that bleach gets blood out. We don't need to talk about that. But
out of the underpants, that's for sure. That's where it counts.
It went from me murdering somebody to anal bleeding.
Well,
all right.
There's
could be
butt,
both.
Butt murders, that's a
that's
thing,
true.
Right?
We talk. I think, yes, there is. We talked about that on one of our first podcasts.
There was this fucking guy who came to my work to do some painting.
Okay.
And he was dressed in all white. And it looked bad because nothing looks worse than a guy dressed in all white and then the rest of him looks like shit.
Right.
unwashed, unshaven, real bad.
Oh, you know, that is funny. The greasy hair and the pimples and the bad skin and the baggy eyes look so much worse contrasted with a beautiful, pristine white shirt.
Yeah, because if you want to wear all white, you either have to look like you invented Apple computers or something, or you have to be Steve Harvey.
Oh, or Doc Brown.
Those are the only people who can wear that.
You're right, Steve Harvey. Yeah. That guy does wear a lot of white.
He wears just the worst suits.
Oh, my God. Oh, so ostentatious. Fuck you, Steve Harvey.
Zoot Suit Riot.
From Snowman, first helpful Snowman hint of the day, fuck Steve Harvey.
I think, too, that Steve Harvey is actually, or Lou Bega was a Steve Harvey side project.
A little bit of Jessica in my balls. A little bit of Shannon in my ass.
I think that was him. It was like his Chris Gaines.
Oh, my God. you know, and that guy, what was his name?
Lou Bega?
Lou Bega was the whitest sounding and whitest. I don't know. I think it was white.
Yeah, Louis Bega.
Yeah, really. Well, no, just the way he sang. There was absolutely no soul or sexy salsa tinge.
No,
it was very white bread for a brown man.
It was just like a list. Even though it was about banging chicks, it was very. But it felt like when you go to AA and you have to apologize.
Yes.
You're like, well, a little bit to Monica. For having sex with her in my mind.
Sorry about that.
A little bit of Gina is what I need, but not anymore.
It was the opposite of a Barry White song.
Right.
It was the opposite of sexy, is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that British fucker that did a bunch of Beatles songs, but he did the one song, "You Can Leave Your Hat On." You know, even he had a little bit of soul.
Yeah.
Even if it was just the black background singers in that song?
Sure. Well, yeah, you think at least he believes what he's saying.
Yes.
If
yes.
No one
Lou
else.
Bega, he really did sound like a 12-year-old white boy.
Yeah.
At that song and the singing and everything. I don't believe it. I think it was Millie Vanilli all over again.
It could have been. Whichever one's still alive. Or the dead one.
Didn't the dead one kill himself?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that'll happen when you...
He saw how Lou Bega made it with the song he was going to sing in 3 months. And he was like, well, that's it for me.
Oh, yeah.
That was my return shot.
Getting that Grammy taken back wasn't the thing that put him over the edge. It was Lou Bega.
I like that, too. They're like, we're going to take it back. It's kind of like, oh, fuck, who cares?
Oh, man. You know what it's like for me? It's like when they have in the baseball or the football.
Oh,
yeah. They just take the name out.
Yeah.
I mean, just recently there was something with the college. What's the name of it when the college players, it's like the best college player of the year. I'm asking the wrong
Heisman.
Fucking guy. Yes. Nice.
And ding, 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 ding. That's my first sports point of my entire life.
First and last. That was impressive. Yeah. So, you know, some guy just got the Heisman Trophy taken because of all this academic dishonesty taking money from a fucking, you know, getting paid in college, which you're not supposed to do, which is fucking retarded.
Well, the Heisman Trophy is a guy in a football thing playing football, not a guy with a fucking pencil and a checkbook
and
being responsible about the purchases he makes.
If every other football player was a upstanding citizen and expected to, except for, you know, that's not the case. I'm sorry to break it to you, everybody. So it's just hilarious. But anyway, so he got stripped. And the great thing about this is the second runner-up, the guy who would have gotten it that year, and it was years later. So they were like, hey, in 2010, 2004 recipient, number two, would you like the Heisman Trophy? We're going to give it to you. And he's like, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
And I was so happy for him. I was like, good for you for not saying, yes, I'll take your sloppy seconds.
He's like, no thanks. Well, there should be a statute of limitations, I think, on discovering that shit.
Well,
because how far in the fucking future, I mean, if, I don't know.
Oh, I agree with you.
Who's a famous football man today? John Elway.
All right. Good choice.
If 20 years from now, you know, John Elway is barely alive and then he stab someone to death in his senile rage or whatever.
Right, right.
Because he can't remember the faces of his family.
Did they strip
him of his shit?
No.
I mean, who cares?
You know what? That's a great point, and you've got a real-life fucking example in O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I mean, the juice, I guess he was a good football player. I didn't watch then, but I know he played, and he was apparently rather good.
Yeah.
Even better at getting away with murder.
Yeah.
But that does not – him murdering a couple of white people does not take anything away from his football acumen.
No.
I mean, it can taint the legacy in your mind of, gee, I liked him, and now it's harder for me to like him.
Right.
But it doesn't make him any better or worse.
No.
And I love that I say better, because some people might have been like...
It may have improved his standing. Well, he's more famous, I guess.
Well, that's very true. I wouldn't have known his name. I wouldn't have known that he
neither.
Was the juice otherwise.
I would have just known him as the guy from Naked Gun.
You know another one? Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah, yeah. Greatest football player of our time.
Another guy that I know only his name and nothing else about him is The Fridge.
Oh, William the Refrigerator Perry. Him I know. He was a Bears player.
Jesus Christ.
I'm doing good on
you
sports.
You are 100% right now, my friend.
It's funny, too, because this was preceded, you know, 10 minutes before we started recording a conversation where, you know, Alec is naming local hockey players to me, big stars, and I'm just completely blank faced.
Right, right.
I was like, Patrick Waugh? No? Okay, well.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Peter Budaj? No? No?
Yeah, Budaj.
It's the last letter on his name is a J, so you know he's not an All-American.
That's... If I owned a hockey team, I think part of the contract would be, can we spell your name a little phonetically on your jersey?
You know, it's funny. You picked an appropriate player to say that statement after because my friend Colin, we'll call him Colin Lindenmeyer.
Does he have a middle name, James or something?
Fuck, he's going to be mad if I don't. Like, he listens to this.
Yeah.
I think it's, no, Ryan's the Irish one. It's, no, your brother's Kenna.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
And, yeah, that's out of nowhere.
Whatever. Oh. Excuse me. Anyway, yeah, I think Peter David Dirk
is
a
little
bit
more...
Well,
you know what? Colin Lindenmeyer, born November 16th, 1983.
Nice.
So we can identify him.
Nice. Same birthday as Peter David Dirk.
Yeah.
He's my other wife. And a real good one. But anyway, all right, so back to the point. His mom knew that he liked hockey back when Patrick Waugh played for us, and she only read the paper. And Waugh's name is spelled R-O-Y.
Right.
So he was like, you know, he was a big fan. We're doing well. We're getting the Stanley Cup. Everybody's pumped. And she's like, you know, I've heard a lot about Waugh, but I read that Patrick Roy is doing really, really well for the Avalanche. And on the one hand, you want to laugh at her and hit her.
Yeah.
Because you're abusive.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's not her fucking fault. His name is
R-O-Y. It's so much worse, too, because not only is it not what it looks like, but like, all right, we had a player, Hey Duke, and it was H-E-J-D-U-K.
Yeah, Hedge Duke, I called
him. So you knew it would be crazy.
Right.
But Roy is a word you know.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Hey Duke, if you pronounce incorrectly, you don't get... You know about how it's going to sound.
Right.
But... R-O-Y, who the fuck would ever think that would be pronounced Wah?
Yeah. So maybe that could be the contract. That could be a loophole. If you want to just go all out crazy, if you want to be Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Or Muhammad Ali.
Or
Mr. Cassius Clay.
Michael Olowokandi or whatever that guy's name was.
Michael, I want a whole bunch of candy.
Yeah. If you want to just change your last name to Candyland, then you can just fucking do that. But it makes it hard when you're trying to get into sports as a guy like me who can only vaguely fake sports knowledge.
Right.
And then
you're
got
doing
this difference in print and oral.
Oh, man. I have probably had a few embarrassing times of mispronouncing hockey names.
Yeah.
Because I've loved hockey for years.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's a player on there and I don't know the name. And I'm pretty good about calling my own bullshit.
Right.
I don't try to pretend knowledge that I don't have.
Right.
But you have to pronounce the name to talk about the guy you're talking about.
Right, right.
I can't. It's not bullshitting when I want to talk about the fucking name of the player that I saw on the game.
Yeah.
But then when I mispronounce it, I feel like a real asshole.
Yeah.
And I want to be like, fuck you. I watched the game.
Yeah. I was there. I saw this happen.
Right, right. So it's really hard. But, you know, at least hasn't happened in long enough. I didn't get to go see the retirement game of retirement ceremony of Joe Sakic. And I was like, yeah, Sakic was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know why his name is so anti-Jewish, but he's a good player.
I think that was maybe part of the key to his success, too. Sakic. S-A-K-I-C.
Yeah.
Pretty much what you thought.
You know what? And his first name, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
Average Joe Sakic? Fucking A.
So we had some, when we started, you know, we had a dead marsh, which was exactly.
Oh, totally.
What it looked like, oh, if my I God. Remember right.
You know, and I don't mean to get too far off topic, but
okay.
All right.
Whatever the fuck the topic was.
Doesn't matter. None of this matters. But I really, you know how sometimes the last name of somebody's pretty clear? Silverman
yeah.
is
yeah.
the nice Jewish lender of silver in the
yeah.
past. Deadmarsh.
Yeah.
What fucker lived in the old haunted Deadmarsh
right.
and decided to take that as a surname in 1510?
It does sound like a place where you could, you know, tour a bunch of creepy houses with weird portraits still hanging up, even though no one's lived there for 40 years.
They say they're haunted.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like I played in the Deadmarsh in World of Warcraft back during my nerdy days. Those are over.
It's the kind of place they would go in Scooby-Doo.
Dead
yes. Marsh, Massachusetts or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that, Scoob.
I need a Scooby stick. Ruby, Ruby, Roo.
Yeah. They never did an episode of Scooby-Doo that where, you know, they'd have Fred sit down and be like, you know, it's never the places you expect. It's never your Dead Marshes, your Skeleton Hollows. It's your Brightons.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
Lafayette is really fucked up.
Right.
There are more dead bodies and hauntings in goddamn Aurora than there are in the old...
You know, Satan's Hollow or something.
I just want
to... Satan's Cauldron.
I want to tell everybody on the podcast right now that even though you're not here with us... physically, you're here with us in spirit.
Yeah.
We are driving on a highway.
Yeah, quickly.
And so when Peter inevitably kills us because his attention is divided,
right.
I'll see you all in hell, motherfuckers.
How amazing will this be, though, if, you know, this like,
last
their final words and it's us complaining about fucking hockey players' names.
This is our black box on the plane. We'll never know what happened during the horrible accident.
Do you have any final wishes for your corpse
my God.
Or your, you know?
What I want all of you to do is weep
just
a lot. I want you to really regret that you don't get more of this comedy gold. You'll never hear any again.
Yeah.
I want, what do I want? Oh, I want all of my past and my one present girlfriends to come to the funeral. I want everybody to interact. I want them to know that my present girlfriend, the wonderful Sarah, she's the winner. Fuck all of you.
She wins.
You're all number
she
two and up below. No, she's best.
No, but I mean, last.
Well,
is
last
most
as
recent.
In
yeah,
well,
not
yeah.
Last
I
place.
Mean, inevitably, if we die, she has to be last. But I'm just saying, I want you all to see what replaced you.
Oh,
what
okay.
was better? So
I
don't
know
why. I mean, it sounds kind of vindictive and assholey now that I say it. But I would love to have them all see, you know. The highs and lows. Wow, I can't believe he did it her after me. I just really want them all to interact. I don't know why.
You know what would be good maybe is, you know, have you ever been to, like, you go to a business thing and you have to play those shitty icebreaker games?
Yes.
Like you put a card on your head and you're
and
Elvis.
Yes,
and, yeah.
I was just thinking that fucking game before you said that.
You know, maybe as an icebreaker for your girlfriends, they could line up in different orders. Like, for example, it's like, all right, first we'll line up chronologically.
Yes.
Just so we, and then maybe by height.
Height-wise would be
relative
fun.
Attractiveness.
Oh, that would be fun.
Niceness
difficult.
Of mom or something.
Best
I don't know.
Breasts.
Yeah.
Most fucked up family history.
Yeah. Come up with like 10 categories, and by then, you know, you can all agree on things, and
right.
then,
and then in the
you'll
end,
know each other.
After you do all that, just rank overall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd like to see, since I'm haunting all of you, which how you stack up yourselves compared to how I stack you.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think it'd be a lot of fun for
you'd
me and no one else.
You'd be sitting in the funeral like, huh, I don't know if I would have done that order, but hey.
I know.
They all agreed.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how they feel about it.
Yeah.
I need another perspective.
I guess, too, though, we could just turn out that, you know, history will have it down as whichever girlfriend of yours was the most pushy ends up being the winner in all the categories.
What if it's super disappointing? What if it's the exact opposite, like you just said?
Yeah.
What if the one who I like the least...
Yeah.
But who was the most aggressive or whatever?
Yeah.
She tries to put herself as number one.
Right.
And they just let her do it.
Yeah, because they're like, ah, fuck, he's dead.
I would be, no, they will be fucking weeping over my corpse, you
okay,
dick.
I'm sorry. Well, they don't care to be in competition.
No,
they're too busy mourning you.
Well, that's, no.
Think how busy they would be with that. It'd be so sad.
They would be 50% sad of my death.
Yeah.
And mourning they'll never get to see me again.
Yeah.
And all of the ones that don't get me again will be sad that they'll never get the chance.
Okay.
And then also, though, they'll want to stack themselves up. They'll want to be like,
oh,
I was number one. Yes.
The spirit of the competition will get them riled up.
I would hope that none of them would throw in the towel, like you just said.
Okay. It'd be like Bloodsport, except instead of his fighting partner dying or whatever, it's you that died.
Instead of Jean-Claude Van Damme doing splits and his balls showing almost as much as David Bowie's in the goddamn labyrinth.
Yeah.
And that Asian guy that killed his friend.
Yeah.
Was he on steroids? He was the most musculature.
He would have to be.
He had the most Asian-y face, but he was the biggest fucker I've ever seen in my life that was an Asian. So average.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Oh, my final wish is,
if
we die, do everything possible to keep me alive and resuscitated. No expense is too much. No efforts too heroic.
Wait a minute. Do you want to be on life support? Do you want to be Terry Schiavo?
Yeah.
You'd rather be alive in a coma?
Well, not really, but I think that's a funnier answer than...
Oh, then I mean,
yeah. Real hilarious. Wouldn't it be funny if I was completely dead to the world, but still alive and costing money?
Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be great if you could actually feel every moment like Johnny got his gun, but nobody knew that you were responsive?
You know, it would be actually...
Comedy gold!
If you were if you somehow could get a job being like Terry Schiavo's live-in nurse or something, easiest fucking job.
Because what do you do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yep.
Even if she shits herself,
she's not going to shit herself.
No,
that's retarded.
You just
people
cut a hole
old
in the
people.
Bed.
She is more. I guess they do. They have to shit.
I think if you're taking in nutrients, which she had to be to stay alive, she must be shitting in some
things
form.
Have to come out of you. You're absolutely right. You don't
can't
just stay
pee
in stasis.
It all out, right?
No, I mean, I'm guessing...
Although you could just, I don't know, rearrange the organs, I would think.
Well, put it in a bag? Difference? I mean, that's what I was going to say, too. Put in a fucking... What's a catheter for the asshole? Colostomy bag?
Colostomy. You know what? You could just fucking strap her with a belt so she's sitting on the toilet at all the times. Why does she need to be laying down?
Because you wouldn't get bed sores then. You would get... you'd get toilet seat sores.
Okay. Well, then, you know, you switch her every once in a while. Once in a while, you turn her around so her arms are on the tank.
As if she's puking.
So she's sitting backwards in the chair like the cool kid in class.
Yeah. Oh, those guys. I always love it. Let me rap with you, kids. And then they turn the chair around, and then they're like, let's get serious.
I'd like to do, if I did an instructional video, it'd be me, and I'd sit down on the toilet backwards like that and have, like, an ashtray up there, and I'm smoking while I'm, all right, let's rap, kids.
The ash gets real long, but you fucking ash it right before it's about to fall off because you know your ash length.
Exactly. Yeah, because I'm
David
cool
Dirk's
like that.
Ash length, not a problem.
And there is he shitting? Is he not shitting? Who knows?
Oh, they don't get to see you. It's waist up? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, they can tell I don't have pants on, but am I actively shitting? Who knows? In the middle of when I'm telling them about whatever
I don't think
that
anyone,
scenario involves.
I think you'd get a reward, not a reward, as if you like, but perhaps an award.
Yeah.
If you could shit so nonchalantly that there's no facial expression.
There's no break in the conversation.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, even the smoothest of shits, I think if I were speaking mid-sentence, I would pause slightly. So if they don't know whether or not you're dumping while giving the instruction that you were giving, pretty impressive.
If I wasn't driving, I'd write that down right now as a game for a future cast. I'll record some audio of me while I'm shitting.
Was
I'll just
I shitting?
Read from a book or something. And I'll record three different pieces, and in one, I'm shitting. Can you tell which one?
Actually got a real piece coming out.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'd have to, well.
What's a good name for this game?
Are You Shitting Me? Oh, this is going to be good. That's a great game.
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm going to have to remember that. Well, I guess I'll have this audio record to help me.
No,
if I could stand to listen to this again. This
will be a fantastic pod because it is so far, you assholes, don't turn away.
Oh, yeah.
But we won't be able to get any of it because it'll be just road noise.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, this feels great. That was so much fun. It'll be nothing.
It'll just be.
No one will hear it. It'll just be you and I.
Constant road noise.
Be like, remember that great podcast we did? And I'll be saying that to you when you're comatose and on the toilet after we get in that wreck.
Right.
You're lobotomized.
Listen to us when we were alive.
I'll be unscathed. You will be brain dead.
So So on that note, kind of what we're doing here, the plan, we've got the mobile rig, podcasting rig set up here. So we're driving down to Denver to see Red State and a Kevin Smith Q&A. So we're kind of doing a before and after.
Right.
What we're thinking will happen, our opinions on the Heisman Trophy, and then we'll go see the movie, see the Q&A, and then podcast on the way back, and you'll all know what we think.
We'll give you our initial impressions, and then after the fact, for you, it'll be moments.
Yeah.
For us, it'll be either hilarious, fantastic hours or excruciating, painful days.
Yeah.
And we will let you know. You'll get immediate what we expect, how we feel about it, good and bad, and then after the fact. So hopefully it'll be exciting and fun.
Right. Now, before we get into that, because we're going to need to talk about some movies, I'm sure.
Right.
I want to talk about something that happens on a lot of podcasts and internet writings and stuff.
All right.
Spoiler alert.
I thought it was going to be pornography.
People always use this term, spoiler alert, and I think I'm done with that.
Oh, my God. Fuck you. If you... The only thing that would be unfair is if in the middle of some unrelated podcasting, let's say we're doing a comic podcast.
Yeah, and I just, right now, I just said, in the end of Civil War, Captain America dies.
No.
I just bust out like
that. Even then, you should expect that and fuck you for being mad if it gets given away.
Right.
Only if we were in a comic podcast and I was like, Rosebud is his sled.
Right.
In the end of Citizen Kane, the fucking thing that he's been bitching about the whole movie is a fucking sled.
Right.
Then you're an asshole for giving it away.
Yeah, sure, if you're purposely trying to fuck someone. But even
or
then,
if it's unrelated. I mean, because I've had things like where I'm listening to not even on podcasts so much, but in magazines where they're talking about some, it's an article that's unrelated to the genre.
Oh, and they throw in like a little cultural joke of just like the ending of Inception.
Exactly. And it's like, what the fuck? I mean, okay, I think for instance, when I was watching way back in my late teens, my early 20s, when there was no such thing as Netflix or on demand, all you fucking kids, I would have to actually go to Blockbuster. This was a store that fucked you in the ass, and I would have to rent the episodes of Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
I had no HBO, so I saw the Sopranos, I don't know, a year after that was aired on TV.
Yeah.
So I started watching Sopranos, and every goddamn season was fucking given away to me.
Right.
I was fucked because I would be reading some article in Entertainment Weekly about a movie, and then it would be like, just like when Adriana Lacerva gets shot in the head by the guy who's actually in the E Street Band.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this unnecessary.
It wasn't an article about The Sopranos.
Yeah.
It wasn't an article about television shows.
Right.
And it was a little one- or two-sentence blurb that ruined an entire goddamn season of TV for me.
Right.
That's unfair, and they should put spoiler alert and fuck them.
I agree. Well, if it's... All right, here's the thing. If you're talking about the thing, you kind of have to talk about the beginning, middle, and ending, unless the ending is... There's no point to it, and even then, you have to talk about it.
Right.
But if you're right. If you're talking about something else, you don't have to compare it to the ending of something else.
Right.
Also, I would say it'd be nice if people on the internet, I think we can do a hiatus on spoiler alerts if something has been available for mass consumption for 6 months. So, for example, Sopranos.
Right.
Not on TV, but if it's been on DVD for 6 months, it's fair game.
The end of, what was that show that you didn't even get through?
Lost, Battlestar Galactica.
Fucking both, fine.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
Yeah, either one.
If that got given away to you now, I wouldn't feel bad for you.
No, I would be like, I had ample opportunity to get through that myself.
Right, exactly.
I shouldn't be pissed off at someone else because they wanted to talk about something. Citizen Kane, everyone knows it's fucking Rosebud, and then you just have to decide, is it worth watching or not? I've made the decision no, apparently, so far.
Right, yes. You've never seen that movie?
No.
Oh, you're missing out of a movie that when I saw it in college, I fell a fucking sleep during the class.
Yeah.
I mean, during the viewing, I guess, of the, you know, because it was a class. You know what I liked about this class? Most of the time was really movie watching.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that because I like that the name, like Film 101, didn't lie. You watched a lot of movies.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of those classes where you don't get any of what they promise in the title.
Oh, no, yeah. Like human sexuality.
Right.
And all you hear about is, you know, how people were oppressed or
this
or
that. I was just
going to
say,
race has
it's always a 60-year-old angry fucking ex-feminazi who's like, men rape. There's no such thing as sex. It's only rape.
Right. Don't fool yourself.
Fucking men are the root of all evil.
Yeah.
The white man.
Yeah, I mean, those human sexuality classes just turn into basically a forum for people to talk about their bad experiences and ask dumb questions.
Your childhood is not fucking academic.
Right.
You know, I don't need to learn. I had one class, I think it was Women of East Asia or Women of Indian History. The woman who taught the class, not only incomprehensible, you couldn't fucking understand her, she hated men.
Yeah.
And, or maybe it was even more of a woman's studies type. I mean,
yeah,
it was like maybe it was women's studies, but it was had something to do with the Middle East.
Okay,
who knows? A long time ago.
Well,
smoked a lot of pot since then.
Fortunately, that's an area where I'm sure women are doing pretty well.
Wait, what do you mean?
The Middle East?
Oh no. Well, all right. Let me.
Or the Far East.
It was the Far East. It was the Far East.
Oh, so
they only had their feet bound.
Dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Well, no, it was Indian dot head.
Oh,
so it
geez.
Was borderline. It was like not. She was an Indian woman.
All right, so
and I don't mean like the feathers, and she was like, how, white man, put a baby in me. She was like fucking, you know, I don't know, whatever they sound like.
I don't want to do that. That's rude and racist, but I could.
Maybe you should anyway.
I can't.
All right.
I can't.
Not while we're driving.
Not today.
Maybe tomorrow.
So
anyway, but yeah, she hated men. There was like three of us in the class. I think I got a B. I was fine with it.
Fair enough.
All right.
So I thought, first of all, maybe we could talk a little. So we're going to see Kevin Smith, which is already for a lot of people. Well, there's a couple groups. Probably a group who's real excited.
Yes.
A group who is really unexcited.
Wait a minute. Of our podcast about him or to see him?
People in general.
Oh, the people who about Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
right,
so there are
now.
People who are... I think they're either very pro, very anti, or who the fuck is Kevin Smith?
Yes, he is very divisive.
So let's start with who the fuck is Kevin Smith.
All right. He is a relatively overweight individual, a writer and director.
Like that's your first...
Well, because you know what?
His weight is a little...
I know. Here's the problem.
Although he does bring it up a
that's
little.
Why... You fucking stepped on my goddamn...
Sorry.
Fuck you, Peter
I was trying
David
to
Dirk.
Help you.
Yeah, thanks, you dick. Here's my point. He fucking was in the news recently, for some of you who might have heard it, where he was too fat to fly.
Yeah.
And he would constantly, if Peter hadn't fucked me in the ass there while driving, I was going to try to point out that the reason that I brought his weight up first is because all he talks about now is, I'm the guy who's too fat to fly.
Right.
And then he makes that joke about too fat to be funny, too fat to podcast, too fat to get over the fucking fact that he got kicked off a plane for being fat.
Yeah. Well, and he's not... well, that's beside the point.
No.
But
now you feel awkward about
bringing it. Well, no. I just think it's weird because he's not that fat.
No.
I mean, he's fat... But he's not so fat that I think that's the number one thing about him. But he kind of made it into the number one thing about
him. He's not that guy on the tiny scooter. He's not those twins on the fucking scooters. He's not just so unbelievably obese that, you know, he can't get out of his house without a wrench.
If you just saw him around, you wouldn't think twice. If he was coming to sit next to you on a plane, you might be a little like, but...
Even
he's
then,
not insanely fat.
You'd get over the fucking 2-hour flight.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Right.
So he's probably most recently and best known for that to people who don't know him.
But he's the one that overdoes it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, overweight, haha. But
agreed.
So you go for it. You actually give his real biography.
Okay, so I'm going to try and go through just a quick list of his movies, and you can add anything that I miss.
Sounds good.
So Clerks, his first.
Yep.
Maybe his most famous? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Then
Dogma
think,
is big in the...
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mallrats
yep.
after that? My personal favorite.
I like Mallrats and Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy after Mallrats. Then we've got... I think Dogma was after that.
Yep.
Then I think after that was Jersey Girl, which is kind of... So he does movies that are inside this cohesive universe, but Jersey Girl was outside that.
Right.
But still... his vision, I guess.
Right, right. So very similar in tone.
Yeah.
And what it was a PG-13 version of all of his R movies.
Right.
It was a little more saccharine.
Yeah.
You still had Ben Affleck, but instead of him fucking a girl, an underage girl in the ass, like in Mallrats, he fucks Liv Tyler.
In the front.
Right. And they have like there's some kid in it, and then hilariously, what was the guy's name that died?
George Carlin. Yeah.
George Carlin and a little kid are in it. Needless to say, it didn't do very well in the box office.
No, although I think it was one of those that, he takes a lot of shit for.
Right.
I don't find it to be particularly offensive.
I don't either. That is a wonderful point that I'm glad that we can bring up now and talk about.
Yeah.
That movie is fine. It's not good,
yeah,
but it's certainly not fucking overly bad.
No, I just put that in the category of not for me. He was also in, if you've seen the movie Catch and Release, the fat bearded guy.
Oh, and he was also the guy who lived in his mom's basement and was into Star Wars.
Yeah.
Go for it.
In Die Hard. Live
yep.
Free or Die Hard.
Yep. And he was also the coroner in Daredevil.
Daredevil. Okay, so Catch and Release, you know, comes up because I don't find that to be, that's not in my fucking personal DVD collection.
Not your oeuvre?
No, but it's not for me. I mean,
right.
When they made that movie, they were not picturing me in the seats, and I think Jersey Girl, same deal.
Right.
That wasn't for me.
He was trying to broaden his horizons. I think the problem with that movie was it was so indelibly Kevin Smith that
yeah.
it didn't translate to the overall audience.
True.
But it was so against his type that all of the fanatical fans that he has that
yeah.
eat up his bullshit. I shouldn't even say bullshit. That's unfair and biased. But eat up the basic similar stories that he told in his first three or four movies.
Right.
That they were like, what the fuck is this?
It's true. Kevin Smith wasn't a name to anyone who didn't know Kevin Smith
already. Totally.
And to the people he was a name to, who he loved. He has a very strong, very vocal, very internet fan base.
Yes.
Who love everything he does, I think.
Except for shit that deviates, like Jersey Girl.
For Jersey Girl, and so it was kind of, it just didn't hit its mark. Okay.
No, well, because it missed, ironically, it missed any of the overall audience, the bigger audience,
yeah.
the regular mom and pop
yeah.
fuckers that go with their, nobody saw it that didn't know Kevin Smith.
Right.
So, ironically, the only people that saw it were Kevin Smith fans, and it wasn't made for them.
Yeah.
So it hit zero of the two that he was going for.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's no worse than, you know, you go see fucking, what was that shitty movie? The Ugly Truth? Romantic comedy? Horrible.
Thank God I didn't see that.
Oh, God.
You see a lot of shitty fucking girl movies.
Well, I see them with a shitty
fucking
girl.
Girl.
No. I take that back.
Too
part
late.
Of it, but I'm not going to say which part.
She is a delightful fucking girl or a shitty clean girl.
Love you.
Or a wonderful okay. man.
Well.
All right.
Everybody needs a nice man in their life.
Oh, Peter.
I see The Ugly Truth, right? And
right.
that's a romantic comedy. Katherine Heigl, who I hate.
Oh, I hate her so
much.
And I didn't even like her in that fucking movie with that guy that people used to think looked like me till
yeah,
he lost weight.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked too.
Yeah, it was boring.
It was. There were three funny parts, and none of them were the main characters.
It was all
Jonah Hill. Or,
you know what? He was funny in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
When he was breaking those lights.
Yeah.
And he was like the irreverent fat friend.
Yeah.
Not even fat, because that gets old too with the, oh, he's a schlubby friend.
Yeah.
But the regular-sized, normal coworker.
Yeah.
Who's funny. And then when he started being in, like, cast as the lead role.
Yeah.
Not nearly as funny. Not his fault, I don't think. I actually like him quite a bit. But the movies that he's in, he's not a leading role type of guy.
Right.
Let's just say I didn't see Green Hornet because I don't think superhero the moment that I see Seth Rogen.
He's another guy, too, who I think gets cast as the fat guy, where if you saw him in real life.
Right, he's not fat.
Yeah, if
I mean, even when he was bigger because he
right.
lost weight.
Even when he was a little bigger, if I was setting someone up with him and they're like, is he fat? I'd say no.
Not really.
He's not svelte, but he's not fat.
Right, no.
Very average.
He's of average size.
Yeah.
He probably wears large shirts.
I'd probably mention his shitty curly hair first.
That's because you're a racist.
That's
you'd be like, he's got a Jew
yeah.
fro.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a fucking mulatto or a Jew, but he's got a goddamn fro.
Just go on the date, get in, get the money, get out.
The money. There's half a chance he doesn't have it.
Okay.
Get
so
it?
We left off
get
at
it?
Jersey
right.
Girl.
Right, okay, Jersey Girl.
Then he went back to his universe with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Ah, yes. Jay and Silent Drop. Okay. Yep, he went back to the well He cast his wife in that movie.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, all right, well, fuck it. Like, Kevin Smith's going to listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
But I was like, why? Because Jessica Biel was in it, and goddamn, Jessica Biel's fucking attractive.
Yeah.
So there was two hotties and then this other chick.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really strange that there's two hotties.
Yeah.
And then a not as hottie.
Yeah.
And then later, I only to learn that it's his wife.
Yeah.
And it kind of made more sense. I was like, ah.
Well, it was a little felt strange, I think, because I think his wife is an attractive woman and would be attract again.
Average.
If you saw her, you'd be yep. like, oh, she's cute.
But it's unfair to her that he cast her against two hot bitches.
Two of, like, you don't the hottest yep. girls in Hollywood.
If he hadn't put her as one of the three hot tens,
right.
you wouldn't have noticed if
no.
she was, but I blame Kevin Smith, not his wife.
It puts the microscope on you in a way. If I were in a movie
with Johnny Depp,
yeah,
and who's another attractive
fucking
Clive
Owen.
Guy.
Oh, younger
Clive
guy.
Owen, yeah.
I like Clive Owen.
That's because you look like him, you big nose fuck.
All right, well, who's that guy who's kind of got a rat face but people seem to like from The Hangover?
Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly who you're
all
talking
right,
about. He does have kind of a rat face. You know, I was thinking that fucking thick-necked guy that was in Terminator. He can't act for shit, but people like him because he's just big. He looks like a wrestler, but not on roids.
In the new Terminator?
Yeah, in Terminator Salvation, the worst fucking movie. Well, all right. Anyway, so all right, let's get back to it.
So, I wouldn't want to be in the hottest guys. Anyway.
Yeah, because, you're absolutely right. You compared to regular guys, you're up there. You're above average. You're good. You compared to movie stars, you might not fare as well. But it's not your fault.
No.
Like, yeah.
Okay, right. So then... That was fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
You know,
that
wait,
was like a
before we go
romp.
Ahead, in my head, I was thinking, what movie stars would you have to put me next to look good? If you put me next to Paul Giamatti
okay.
and fucking, who's that little guy that played the penguin?
This is real quick. So one time we were kind of trying to work out a different system besides 1 through 10 to rate hotness. And we decided maybe what's better than 1 through 10 is a continuum.
Right.
So we kind of tried to pick some real bad guys and some real hot guys on the other end, and then you could kind of fit everyone somewhere in between.
Right. So you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger or Tom Cruise at their peak.
Yeah. Over on the far right, which is the 10.
Right.
And then Danny DeVito on the far left.
That's what I was trying to think of.
So then we started talking... Who's worse, Danny DeVito or Paul Giamatti? And this is Paul Giamatti at his worst. Like, towards the end of John Adams when he's dying and his hair is falling out.
I never saw that, but I was going to say him as a fucking rat fucker. What was the name of in Private Parts? The greasy long hair. It's not him in...
Sideways.
Right, right.
Where he's medium.
He's fine. He looks like himself.
Yeah.
It's him slubbier than normal.
Right. Yeah, at his worst.
Right.
And so then we had a friend with us.
Yeah,
and the
friend.
Question became...
A fucking friend!
The question was Alec asking, am I schlubbier than Paul Giamatti? Now, it could have been a bad word choice. Schlubby isn't super specific.
Oh, yeah, I blame myself.
I blame you.
I blame my schlubbiness.
And then she just said, Alec, I don't want to answer that.
And it was so hurtful because the implication... Well, and then, so I said, Jesus Christ, if you don't want to answer that... Am I worse than, what was that guy?
Danny
name?
DeVito.
Danny fucking DeVito, the little midgety.
Which the answer, I know you guys can't see him. No.
No.
Absolutely not.
I know. Danny DeVito is 4'7".
Right.
And he's not ugly in like a melty face way or in like a disgusting sores way.
Right.
But the guy's not fucking attractive. He's
no.
not. I mean, he's not
no.
like a, you wouldn't try to set your friend up with the hot Danny DeVito.
No.
So, anyway, I was like, I'm not as bad as him. And this friend of ours was like, you're in between. I mean, she put me in between a schlubby Paul Giamatti and the midget that is
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
The penguin.
Yep.
So, anyway, well, just to wrap that up real quick, not schlubbier than Paul Giamatti.
You know what?
If I went to a park with a little kid and I saw you on the bench, I wouldn't be like, I don't know about this fucking guy.
You know, Paul Giamatti can get pretty schlubby. I mean,
oh,
if you put me against the most handsome, nicest haircut, clean-shaven Paul Giamatti,
sure.
Fine. But I purposely said the schlubbiest of Paul Giamatti's. It's the difference between What's the guy with three names that was in Mission Impossible 3?
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman can fucking oscillate between a 4 and an 8.
Yeah, true.
And Paul Giamatti, I don't want to give him that much credit. He can probably oscillate between a 2 and a 6.
I think you're still better than Paul Giamatti on his best day.
Oh, I appreciate that, because
when
I would say
the Oscars.
I feel tied with Paul Giamatti on his best day, but it really hurt my feelings that I'm in between him and a midget, a fat roly-poly midget.
Yeah.
So fuck you, friend.
Well, you know, and to be fair, maybe they should have. Did you see that episode of It's Always Sunny where you see Danny DeVito's ass?
No. How does it look?
It would make you feel much better.
Why, is it
makes
hairy?
Everyone
is it?
Feel, it's just, it's not even an ass anymore.
Oh, it's just part of, it becomes his legs and his back. There's
yeah,
no, like,
there's
separate
no,
part of, like.
He's just an orb.
Yeah, he is. You know what? For me, it's not even an unattractive, like, oh, he's gross. He's
yeah.
more like a little. He's like a toy, or he's just yeah. like a little nephew. You're like, oh, look at him. Look at him.
He's definitely beyond the point of unattractive to almost sideshow.
He is like a fucking ugly pug dog.
Yeah.
He's so ugly, he's cute.
But I do love him.
That's what, he's a lovable, and he doesn't, thankfully I don't think he breathes like like those little dogs.
Right.
So he's got one up on them, and he probably doesn't poop on the floor.
You know, the best probably description of him is just knowing that he was in the movie Twins, and the idea is they took one baby and took all the good genetic material and put it in a separate thing, and then took all the shitty ones
right.
and put it in a separate thing. So they cast Arnold Schwarzenegger as the perfect man, and this was in 1987 or something.
Before
so
you then, knew that he was doing shit tons of roids
yeah.
to look the way he did.
And he looked great. And then so then they're like, we need the complete polar opposite.
Yes, yes. What's the opposite of Arnold Schwarzenegger? What's
yeah.
what's crap human being?
Yeah.
How would you feel? How many people do you think that they asked, or did he actually even have to? Do you have to audition to be the shittiest?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel when you get the part?
You know
good?
What? Great news, Danny. This is your agent, Marv Goldman.
Racist.
You got it. You yeah. got it, man. You're going to be cast.
You beat out everybody.
Opposite Arnold as his shittier, shorter, weaker, angrier, greasier, balder twin.
And then that's when Danny DeVito stabbed himself in the heart.
Yeah.
And then his, what's the woman that's with him who...
Rhea Perlman.
Yeah, Rhea Perlman. Rhea Perlman, whatever the fuck her name is,
yeah.
Ms. Perlman, saved his life, and then he went on to act in that movie.
All right, so back to Kevin Smith.
All right.
So we left off at Jay
yes.
and Silent Bob Strike Back. I think after that was Clerks 2?
I think so.
If you're listening to this at home and we got it wrong, fuck yourself.
Yeah,
we're not
we're doing
it
off memory.
Here.
Yeah, I don't know if fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. We forgot Dogma in there.
We had Dogma.
Oh, we already did.
Yeah, I think so.
I think, okay, well, if,
and then,
but I think the only one I'm confused, maybe Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was before Jersey Girl, and then it was,
yeah.
Oh, and then also, was Zach and Miri Make a Porno before or after Clerks 2?
After, I think.
So that was,
because that was the most recent, besides,
that he wrote and directed.
Yeah, and he directed Cop Out, but we're not even going to talk about
because
that.
He because he didn't write it.
No.
And it was a
it's
paycheck.
Not his vision, it's fine.
Yeah, so that doesn't count.
No.
I mean, you can if you want to complain about the shitty directing in the movie, fine. He directed it.
Yeah.
But if it, you just think it was a shitty movie, it's not his fucking fault.
And see, I'm not a big, I should probably also say, I'm not a big movie guy. I go probably 4 times a year to the movies, maybe.
Right. Right.
So, you know, stuff like the directing, unless it's noticeably bad, doesn't really bother me.
For me,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, cinematography, I'm not like, oh, the mise-en-scène of this
yeah.
Was really. You know what I notice more than anything is the shitty choppy editing in fucking movies
yeah,
that should be good.
The Bourne movies.
Yes.
Where every punch is a cut.
The fighting, you can't even see what's going on anymore.
It's like every joint, so he throws a punch, his shoulder moves, it cuts, his elbow moves, it cuts, his fist clenches, it cuts again, and then when he makes contact, it cuts again. You don't even know. It could
right.
just be some guy roll the camera down the stairs and put a trench coat around it, and then they just put that as the fight.
At least Ben Affleck's very pretty.
That's Matt Damon.
That's my point.
Which one do you like better, Ben Affleck or Matt Damon?
Matt Damon. I like Matt Damon. I like the movies that he's been in more.
Okay.
I mean, excuse me. I haven't seen a lot of...
The show sponsored by Pringles, by the way.
I never... Jesus, until now. I'm going towards the light.
original flavor. They have probably a sour cream and onion. Some kind of cheese one, I'm
Sarah
sure.
Sarah likes a sour cream and onion. I don't care for it. Anyway. I never saw Invictus where he got, like, real big in the shoulders to play a soccer player, which made me laugh.
Oh, yeah, when he freed the blacks.
Well, and it was so confusing because, yeah, he's in that with Nelson Mandela, also known as Morgan Freeman.
That movie needed to happen, though, because Morgan Freeman's getting old, and he was fucking born to play Nelson Mandela.
He looks like fucking...
I don't know why they made other movies with him in it. I mean, they make him be in Batman and shit, and it's like, no. We need to... At least they should have had him sit in a fucking room and screen captured him so they could have virtually finished the movie.
The
like
same
Heath
way
Ledger.
That now with Jeff Bridges, the young version of him is in Tron.
Right.
Or, Heath Ledger, his dead, disembodied, fake fucking face on movies. No. Anyway, I never saw Invictus.
Is Nelson Mandela still alive?
Yes.
Because I think that whichever one dies first, they're just going to switch. If Morgan Freeman dies, Nelson Mandela is going to be like,
him.
Now's the time.
Don't you think? I like that your black distinguished voice is just slower. Now's the time. Well, it's more like an American Indian.
I was just trying to sound like this has been planned.
Oh, I thought you were doing an impression of Nelson Mandela as if he speaks slowly and deliberately.
He has a
Now's
watch.
Now's the time.
He has a watch, but there are no hands or anything on it, and he says... You know, he's like, well, there was no such thing as time when I was a prisoner. But really what happens is if Morgan Freeman dies, it lights up with a silhouette of Morgan Freeman's face.
Right, right.
And he's like, I must go.
Morgan Freeman's hologram in blue comes up and says, help me, Nelson Mandela. You're my only hope.
Do you think they've met?
I would hope to God that they've met.
There's
I bet they got along great.
There's a cop car. Do you think it's illegal to podcast?
I absolutely
I'm gonna put
do.
This mic down.
I think that's a great idea. I'm not going to put mine down. Fuck you, Popo. Fuck you, Bacon. Fuck the police. Fuck them. Fuck the police. Fuck the police. Fuck them.
He'll just think you're eating some crazy ice cream cone.
He thinks I'm going down on a big black man.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So... I think that's so we got up to Zach and Mary and then Cop Out. Now, there's also needs to be mentioned, he's done two movies, but they're not movies. They're recordings of speeches he's given, Q&As. And really, all he does is take questions, and then the answers usually turn into stories.
Right.
It's almost kind of like a mix of stand-up and improv and just a speech, really. Those are his highest-rated movies. I looked up his movies on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. And in both cases, those are like heads and shoulders above.
Right, right.
Which is kind of what pushed this over the edge for us to go.
Because we thought, well, all right. So, full disclosure, I was not planning on seeing Red State in any arena at all.
Right.
I wasn't planning on going to the theaters when it gets wide release in October, although we'll see if it's actually widely released.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning on going to this Q&A. And so I wasn't excited about it. I read... shitty reviews, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
I know the plot. I mean, I didn't care about spoilers because I wasn't planning on seeing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I'm going in an interesting way to this where I'm not really excited for the movie. I'm more excited for the Q&A.
Right.
And the good news is we're running so late that we'll only have to see half the movie.
We'll be good. We'll a half hour early.
Okay.
Because we're almost there.
All right.
Paramount Theater, Denver.
So... But so it's very interesting where some people are like, "Ooh, I can't wait to see Kevin's new movie. I can't wait to see Kevin Smith. I'm looking forward to the Q&A, and I'm more nervous about whether or not he's funny." My thing is, I don't care or expect the movie to be good, but I do care and expect that I hope Kevin Smith is funny.
So you would say, for you, it's safe to say you're more interested in Kevin Smith, the man, than Kevin Smith, the...
I am those people who rated on IMDb and RottenMyBallsack.com,
right.
Where I would say I really enjoyed the shit out of the his Q&As and the evenings with Kevin Smith, and I like him as a person, and when he's not talking about fucking either A, smoking weed, which is not funny, fuck you, Kevin, you're not 15, I know you didn't start smoking until you were fucking 45, but you talk about it the same way that 15-year-olds talk about it.
Right.
It's new to you, we're not high with you, and we don't care, so shut the fuck up.
Right.
Or B, when he's talking about sucking a guy's dick. Because his go-to fucking joke is definitely talking about, oh, don't kill me, I'll blow you.
Right.
Get on my knees, nom, nom, nom. I'm a pincushion for dicks. Not funny.
Now,
some new material.
And that's the other thing of note, I think, is that... you know, for his various shortcomings.
Right. After I just get done bashing him, I'm like, fuck you, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Hope you're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does have, so he's a big podcaster, and has probably, he started what I would say is the only successful podcast network.
I think,
which is,
I agree with
they
you.
They have a bunch of different shows, and just about every day of the week, there's some new show on his network. So it's either him or someone he knows, and they don't necessarily talk about the same shit at all.
No, but that's a good thing. In fact, they don't, some of the subject matter is completely different.
Personal favorite, tell him Steve Dave.
Indeed.
Great show.
Hilarious. Q, give you props.
In fact,
you seem to have low self-esteem. We love you.
I would advise turning off this show and checking out Tell Him Steve Dave.
I disagree. I think Peter Dirk's wrong. We're just as funny.
Tell Him Steve Dave, making hay. That's a pretty good...
Ming Chen, I love your laugh. You sound white. You sound like you're of this country, and then you laugh, and you're like, Peter, you do a better Asian laugh than me. Do it.
I can't. I'm trying to go through the first half without doing any race stuff.
Peter.
I wanted to talk about going to the movie theaters.
God damn
and how
it.
Every time there's a Mexican family with a baby.
Oh, my God. It's not just Mexicans. Now you're getting racist.
I don't
White
know,
people
man.
Bring babies, too.
I see a lot of full Mexican families. Not trying to be racist, but if it's
succeeding
racist,
despite.
Then so be it.
Fair enough.
I've seen it. How is it racist if I've seen it happen?
It's not. Listen, you're arguing with the wrong guy. I'm taking the non-racist fucking slant just more to fuck with you.
Yeah, okay.
I agree with you probably 109%.
Right. But, all right. So we're going to go see him. Hopefully it'll be great.
Okay, so yeah, I went on my thoughts. So, like I said, movie,
oh.
not worried. I don't expect it to be good, so if it's good, I'll be excited and surprised.
Right.
Q&A, I do hope and expect, although Kevin Smith does definitely have his go-to jokes, so do we all.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I did 100-plus podcasts, you'd be like, get over that shit that you talk about over and over.
Right.
But he can be very funny. He can be very quick. I hope that people ask interesting questions. It won't just be his fault. I really hope there's not stupid, inane questions. I hope there's interesting questions, or even if there's shitty audience questions, he goes to something funny.
Fair enough.
So,
I didn't think about this till now of coming up with a question.
No, fuck no. I'm not going to raise my hand and try to get in line.
Me neither. Well, I don't want to stand. For me, it's
nice.
I paid for a seat. Oh, that's another thing of note, I think. So, the big deal with Red State, it's not going through a big picture house or anything like that. He's kind of doing the release all himself.
Right, it's self-distributed.
Yeah, so this kind of how he's making the money is by doing this big tour, letting people see it early. But
at a very premium price.
And we weren't going to go, but the tickets are buy one, get one.
Which so, sounded good.
Yeah, two tickets was $90.
Right.
So we're paying $45, and that's if we don't get any drinks, which we will.
Which, hell yes.
I will get exactly the amount that makes me 100% sober when we leave.
Which, if you were me, would be 4, because I'm already feeling sober now, except for I have to pee, and for you, it'll be 2.
I had to pee, too.
That's too bad, since I got to drink 4 beers in a row, and that's why I have to pee. You just have to pee.
I had a coffee.
That's true, you did. So, anyway, all right. So, Peter, before we get done with this podcast, what are your expectations and what are your fears?
All right, well, I came in opposite of you. I'm like a newborn baby who's crowning right now. Although I saw the other Kevin Smith movies in the womb, or most of them.
Your sweet, sweet May let you stay in there long enough to watch all of them before you crowned completely.
She stretched her tummy so tight that she put a screen and I could see.
Oh, don't talk about your mommy's tummy.
Well.
That got weird.
I don't even know what it looks like.
I apologize for calling her your mommy. That was also weird.
Once it was my mommy's tummy.
I was like, ooh.
All right. So I'm coming into this, you know, like a fucking slimy, wet baby who's never experienced any. I had no reviews, no plot.
Ah, yes. And I was good to Pete, and I didn't give away anything. Because even though I am well aware of everything start to finish, the only thing I told him was that his father... John Goodman was in it.
Yeah, which is exciting.
Yes, it really
is. I do know a little bit just from hearing Kevin Smith talk about it on aforementioned shows.
Okay, well,
so
right.
I know a little, but really the gist of what I could just say everything I know, which is the overall sort of theme of the movie, there's this family that's kind of like, what is that?
The Phelpses.
The Phelps family.
Those
who's
fuckers.
Super,
who...
super religious.
Right.
And there's some kind of thing where there's a group of teens who try to engage in sex of some kind, and then it goes awry because of this family. But that's all I know.
Which is awesome for you because that's about a third to half of the movie,
yeah,
I believe.
That's too bad. But
no, it's well, No,
I guess the average trailer shows you that much, at least, right?
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, the setup's going to be too long. Yeah. I mean, because that's going to be the first 30 minutes of the goddamn movie is what you just said. But that's every movie.
Yeah.
You can't blame Kevin Smith.
Every movie I see, too, I just... My 100% of the movies I see, I'm like, yeah, they could have cut out a half hour.
They could have got to this a little faster.
Could have made that tighter.
We'll see if they could cut out 2.5 hours of this movie or if they could cut out 20 minutes.
Yeah. So if I think it's a half hour too long, that's no...
Then that means that's a fucking 5 stars. That's 2 thumbs up and no jaw.
Right.
For Siskel and Ebert. Which one's the dead one and which one's the one no jaw?
Ebert is the deformed one.
Would you rather be deformed or dead?
Deformed.
Me too.
Absolutely. As Ebert, too.
Especially
in
the
what's
face.
What's the difference?
Well, and I mean, I saw a picture of him and it was horrifying of like when they reconstructed it the first time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not even trying to, well, I say that after calling him deformed. I'm not making fun. But I mean, good for him for fucking getting it. But they just gave him a new one.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. He looked fine.
Yeah, he went from a 15% normal human-looking person to a 90%.
Have you seen his wife?
She's pretty good-looking.
Yeah, but what, I mean, what would you expect, knowing Ebert, seeing Ebert?
Oh, you'd think she'd be a fucking schlubby white, maybe Italian, or, I mean, at most, a slight olive color.
Yeah.
But isn't she some sort of crazy ethnicity?
She's black.
Like I said, some sort of crazy ethnicity.
She looks like, I mean, the picture I saw of her... She's black and she's dressed kind of like the mom from Sister Sister.
Right, right. She's an African
and you're
queen.
Just like, wow, okay.
It's so crazy. He's the whitest fucking guy.
Yeah.
And he seems to be conservative in his movie. I mean, not conservative like crazy. I'm not talking conservative like politically.
Right.
I'm just talking like he doesn't seem like he'd be like, I think interracial marriage is wonderful.
Okay, so we're in town now and we're headed to Dominion Towers Garage.
So we'll see you in. So after we fight our way out,
right.
I'm going to have my +2 agility axe.
Jesus Christ. Why would you name your
I'm
building Dominion Towers?
Because you played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons when
Jesus
you were a kid.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I fought through the Dominion Towers dungeon when I played World of Warcraft. Made it all the way through, 5-man.
We've also got Emily Griffith Opportunity School, which is very specific.
Hilton Garden Inn is probably the best named.
All right, I gotta fucking pee.
I've gotta go pretty fucking bad, too. All right, so we will let you know.
Yeah, we'll be back to what you guys seems like no time at all.
Hopefully as drunk or drunker and having to pee less.
Yeah, and me sober as sober, but...
Sober enough to drive us.
With a little bit of a headache.
Yep.
From drinking a little. All right, we'll see you then.